1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, going to be talking about the power of resurrection. Resurrection. Because there has to be a prerequisite before a resurrection. There has to be something that dies. There has to be something that we have to put in the ground that has to die. And so there's things that God wants out of our lives that maybe we want to hold on to. We're not ready to let go of. We're not ready to put in the ground and let it die. We want to hold on to it. And as long as it's in our hands, it's not in God's hands. So we're going to be talking about really several things. But as a general rule, what you give God, and what, in other words, what you put in the ground and let it die, God is in the business of resurrection. Hallelujah. There's a principle there. There's a law that what you put in the ground, the law of sowing and reaping, what you put in, God resurrects. And when he does it right. He does it perfect. He does it with glory. It's always so much more than what we think we can do with it. See, we like control. We want it to happen a certain way. We want to do it our way. And like I said, if it's our way, then it's not God's way. But God is calling all of us to let go and let God. You know, this is really what we do to start our walk of faith in Christ. We let go of our lives and say, God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I surrender my life to you. And when you do that from the heart, he recreates you. You're a whole new creation on the inside, your spirit. You're a whole new creation. The old is passed away forever. The old man is dead, and a new creation comes out. And so we have that picture of burying the dead, but always in Christ there's a resurrection. So we're going to be talking about the resurrected life, the life that God has for each and every one of us. It's not only how we're to start our Christianity, it's how we're to walk every single day. It's saying, God, I give you this, I give you that. That which is precious to us, we're going to hand it over to God and say, God, I can't do this. I'm going to give it over to you. I'm going to let it die. I'm going to bury it and watch you resurrect it into something glorious, something wonderful. So I saw that principle. There's so many scriptures about resurrection, of course, in our New Testament. But I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That was all of us. We all were sinners and have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, right? Spiritual, eternal death. Then it goes on to say, verse 9, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And that's two parts of the same coin. We must not trust in ourselves. Our ability to control a thing, to manipulate a thing, to have it our way, our plan, our dreams, our desires. We must not trust in our plan, but let God resurrect it. He is the one that raises the dead, right? That's obviously impossible for any man to raise the dead. But it takes some trust, right? It takes us saying, God, I'm going to trust you with this thing. Maybe there's something you're dealing with, a person you're dealing with, someone you love, or a thing you love, or something you've planned for yourself, or for someone else you love, and you've got to hand that over to God. God wants it all. Why? Not because he's greedy, because he has a better way. He has a plan. He has a resurrection plan for that thing that we like to hold on to. Hallelujah. So we must first trust, that's one side of the coin, and then he will raise that thing to life. He will raise it from the dead unto life, glorious life. Verse 10, who delivers us from so great a death. That's what he did on that cross. Eternal death. He raised us from eternal death. But then it goes on to say, but he does deliver. In other words, it's ongoing. He's ongoing, continually delivering. But we must continually hand it over to him. We must continually crucify. Last time I spoke on the 11, I talked about crucifying the flesh. And we'll probably talk about that some more here. But the things that we crucify, we bury, we put in the ground, God takes those things and changes them and makes them a whole new thing. Hallelujah. Resurrects them unto the glory of Jesus Christ. It says, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. He will yet deliver us. So it is a constant work. You know, when you got saved, it wasn't just a one-time event in your past. Salvation is past, present or ongoing, and there's a salvation to come in the future, past, present, and future. When in the past is when you cried out and got saved, you became born again. That's when your spirit became a whole new creation. So that was in your past. But ongoing is the walk of sanctification, the walk of walking and transforming your mind, sacrificing your body, and giving your life over to God daily. But then there's also coming a future salvation, which is the salvation of our body, which we get a new body, in other words. There's a resurrection coming. God will rapture his church, and we get new bodies. If you're alive on the earth, you're transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And those that are dead, they get new glorious bodies, and these bodies will never get sick, never grow old, never die, never have any pain, no suffering for those bodies. These are eternal bodies. That's what God does, is he gives us glorious resurrections. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about, we have to give something over to him, though. Do you have something that you're holding on to? Someone, maybe, that you're holding on to. So, it says again, we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. You could say that's the first step, is not trying to control everything about our lives, about our even our children, or you know, our career, our future. We have all kinds of things where we devise all these plans, and we have to lay them down at the altar and say, God, take this. What is it you want for my future? What is it that you want for my career, my career path? You know, sometimes we have it all planned out when we're young, but when we come to God, we got to say, okay, we got to throw that out and say, God, what is your plan for my future? What career path do you have for me? And he has a ministry for you. It isn't just a job to make income. It's a ministry. Wherever you're going is going to be a place where he has placed you for ministry, first and foremost. We're here as salt, as light, as ambassadors for the kingdom, right? We're not just here to make some money to pay the bills. So even in your job, your vocation, or the business that you start, commit it to God and make sure it's God's plan for your life. Maybe God it's time for a change. Maybe he wants you to go a different direction. Commit it to God. Let him resurrect it. Let it be not our plans, but his plans. We sometimes dream big dreams, and there's nothing wrong with that. But now we always have to constantly commit that dream to God and say, God, is this what you want for me? I can dream big. I can think of all kinds of amazing things, you know, but they mean nothing. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. You're laboring in vain unless you're committing it to God and letting God have that thing. We have plans. We have dreams. We have all kinds of things we have for our future, our children. Commit your children to God, their futures to God. It's so important. I mean, before my kids were born, I'm praying over them and committing them to God. And then when they were born, I committed them again. And then all the time, I continually commit them and their future to God. And, you know, I have some things in my mind, but I'm always trying to pray and say, God, what is your will for their life? Amen. We have to pray over our kids and commit their future to the Lord's will. Not our will, but thy will be done on earth, right? That's what the prayer says. Thy will. Because his will always produces life. Our will produce death, but his will always be life, life everlasting. We see the principle of this also in Genesis 22. You remember back in your Old Testament, God spoke, and I'll go ahead and read it. God spoke to Abraham. Genesis 22:1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or the word is actually test, Abraham. God is testing you. He does often. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Are the things that you love. Maybe you love them too much. We're to love the Lord our God first and foremost. Amen. Not things. And we're to love our children, but we're to love God more. Sacrifice. That's what he's going to call on Abraham to do. Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took his two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place that God had told him. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we don't see God moving in our life because we didn't get up and move. You notice how quickly he moved. The next day, early in the morning, he's packed, cut the wood, and took off, ready to go. Sometimes we don't see God moving in our life because we hesitate. We hold back. We say, well, was that really God? When we know it was. God is speaking to you and telling you, do this. It's an act of faith. Absolutely, it's an act of faith to sacrifice your son. But Abraham, I mean, notice how quickly he did it. He didn't hold back. He said, yes, Lord, got up and just took off. Didn't bring a little lamb with him or nothing. He had, you know, he had his son, some wood, and another guy to help him carry the wood, I guess, and the mule, and here we go. Off 3 days journey out into the wilderness to sacrifice his son. It's an act of faith. Now, I don't think God's going to tell you to sacrifice your son. I don't think that'll ever happen, but you see the principle here that God is asking you to kill something so that he can raise it up. And what happens here? Well, of course, the ram is provided. He doesn't sacrifice his son. God says, don't kill your son, and the ram is provided. But what really happened here was because Abraham was faithful to sacrifice his son, willing to, we should say, God sacrificed his son. He gave so much more. So when we give what we think is so big, so important, God has so much more, so much greater, that God gave his son so that all of humanity could be saved. He was looking for a man that he could make covenant with, and that's Abraham. He made covenant with Abraham because Abraham took this step of faith, and he's looking for someone here in the earth that will believe him. When God says, give it up, you say, yes, without hesitation. Yes, Lord, I give this thing to you. I give this person to you. I give these children to you. Have him, Lord God, and watch what God can do with them. Watch him raise them up and change their lives to the glory of Jesus. And all the plans you thought you had for them, man, they would have been terrible. I'll tell you ahead of time. They would have been bad. You think you know it all. You don't. Hallelujah. He can do so much more. We have to put our faith in him. There can be no refuge in any natural thing. We have faith in maybe our prestige or our name or our experience or our intelligence or our strength or our money or our income or our, you know, these days we have the elections and our government. We can have faith in none of these things. Thank God if they're good. Thank God for the blessings. If they're going well in your job or your, thank God for that. Praise God for that. I believe in most cases that's from God. God blesses his people. But we have to not hold it tightly. Right? We have to be willing to let it go and say, God, this is yours. You gave it to me. You can take it. You can have it. Never hold anything tightly. It has to be in God's hand and say, I give this to you today. I give my child back to you today. You have to do it daily or give this job or this income so that if you lose it, you're not just going to lose your mind. But you're like, well, God's got it. I gave it to him. So watch him resurrect that thing. Watch him make glorious something that I would have messed up anyway. He has such a better plan than we could have ever come up with. He's a good God, and he has good things in store. Maybe it's a relationship. Sometimes we have to hand over an unhealthy relationship that we're in and say, God, I hand this relationship to you. What do you want to do with this thing? And he may tell you to walk away from some relationships. Some we need to. Some we definitely need to. And sometimes it's hard. Most of the time it is, particularly with relationships. But when we do, says, I got something better. I got someone better for you, right? And it's going to be fruitful, and you're going to be so glad you did. Hallelujah, because God is in the business of resurrection, but you have to let it die. You have to put it in the ground. Maybe it's our time, you know, things that we spend time doing, and we have to sacrifice this and say, God, I give you my time. All this time I spent doing my own thing or my own entertainment or my own pastimes or things I enjoy doing, I give this to you and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? We sacrifice it. We put it on the altar. We let it die. Hallelujah. And we take that time and we put it into the time of prayer, time in seeking God, time in reading the Bible. We also could use finances, our money. We give. Even when things are tight, say, God, I trust you with my money. I trust you with my offering or my tithe or whatever it is. And he always provides abundantly. We never have to worry about it. But it's that moment where we have to make that decision. I'm going to give this to you, God. I know you're going to take care of me. I give this in faith. And that's a seed. And he does what? Once we put it in the ground, we let go of it. Our hands are off. We give it to God. He takes care of the rest and he resurrects it. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also. He's going to raise us from the dead by Jesus and shall present you with us. There's coming a glorious day where he's going to come back and give us a new body. But right now, we're in a process of salvation where he wants your will. You know, our soul, so to speak. Our soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want to focus on your will right now. And that's the biggest thing. What I will versus what he wills. See, the pastor preached this morning on living after the world, being molded after this world. This world will tell you, do what you will. Live how you want to live. That's being free. No, that's bondage because sin. That is living in sin because we're fulfilling not God's will for our lives, but we're fulfilling the will of the world. The will of the world will always tell you to be selfish and do what you want to do. Will you sacrifice and lay down your will and say, God, your will be done, not my will be done. Your will, your plan for my life, your plan for all these things I had worked out in my life. Will you sacrifice them? Letting go of your personal plans that really don't align with his will so that he can resurrect and give you a new plan. Sometimes we need to seek God for a new plan. God, I don't know what you want. I need you to give me a plan. I need you to give me some direction. I need your wisdom. And he will give it to you. It says he will always give it to you freely, abundantly. You don't have to beg him for it. He wants you to do his will, but you have to let go of your own will. You have to let go of your plan. So he's already given us a new created spirit, but we're in the process of yielding our will to him every single day. I try to make it a habit in my prayer every day to say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done every single day. So we're in that process of sanctification, of changing, transforming our thinking, our mentality, so that we're always saying, God, your will be done in this situation. I lay this thing down. I let it be buried. There's a principle in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the resurrection chapter. I'm not going to read it, the whole chapter, but I'm going to read verses 35 and 36, and you'll see it here. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up? So Paul is dealing with some people that don't believe in the resurrection. There's the Sadducees that were sad, you see, because they don't believe in resurrection. So, but Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He absolutely believed in the resurrection even before he came to Christ. He was strong on angels and resurrections and supernatural power. The Sadducees didn't believe in any of that stuff. So that's why they were sad, you see. So he's dealing with people that don't believe in a resurrection, and they're asking the question, how are the dead raised up? They're like, how are the dead raised up? You know, they're having an attitude. And with what body do they come? In other words, they're objecting to the doctrine of a resurrection. Verse 36, Paul says, thou fool. So that's why he calls them a fool. If you believe in a resurrection, you're not a fool. But he's talking about those that don't. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That's the principle I'm trying to give you this morning. That which you sow is not quickened or made alive unless it dies. Get that. This is a principle. This is a law of God. It does not come to life until it dies first. It has to die first. Well, it's mostly dead. It's like 90% dead. I'm going to hold on to that 10%. No, it's not dead. Partial death is not death. You have to completely bury that thing in the ground. You know, we do water baptisms and they don't save, but they represent our salvation. I don't like go like 90% in the water and bring them back out. No, when I baptize you, you're going all the way down And I'll bring you all the way back out. Don't worry. But that's what it represents. That's why we don't sprinkle. It represents a grave. That's what the baptism represents. It's a grave. You're completely dead. Your old man is completely dead. Nothing, no hand sticking out of the grave, rotting on top of the surface. No, your entire body goes completely under. You're completely dead. Your old man is dead. And then comes the resurrection when we come back out of the water, right? And so that's what that represents. And so the same is true with everything that we have. We don't want to hold on to any of it and leave just a little bit for the devil to use or for us to even use. It has to be everything. It has to die first. That which you sow is not quickened or made alive except it die. We have to be willing to truly let it die. So he's talking about our resurrected bodies is like a seed being sown in the ground. And of course, the same concept is true. You put a seed in the ground just like you put a body in the ground. And what comes from the seed is a tree or a plant or something that produces fruit, right? And so the same thing is true. We have to bury it into darkness, into death. And then we talk about the miracle of life takes place. That seed must die, that somehow the outer part of that seed dies, and from death comes life. And that only, of course, can happen because of the power of God, or the miracle power of God in our case when we're resurrected from the dead. So that which is true, this principle of sowing and reaping is true with your body. You crucify it. You put it to death. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things, all the things that you are to mortify the deeds of your body, the Bible says, to crucify the flesh, but also our own will has to be nailed to that cross and let it go get buried, and God will take it and God will resurrect it unto something glorious for Jesus Christ. Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. In the Greek, that tells us that there's a possibility we can walk in this new life. But it's not an absolute. It's not a guarantee. We should walk in the newness of life, but we have to make the decision. What is it? It's the decision of faith, to trust God and say, I'm going to give this to you, God. I'm going to give my plans, my future, my body, my will, my soul, my children, my career path, my whatever. I got to give it to you, not in part, but in whole. Bury it in the ground, let it die, and wait on God to resurrect that thing. And I know that had to be the longest 3 days when Jesus was buried. The disciples were all in depression and just crying for days, I imagine. And we thought he was the Messiah, and now he's dead. They thought it was over. They threw the towel in, so to speak, and gave up. And so it can be hard. It is an act of faith because you have to press through and just keep trusting God. When you gave that thing over to God, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes endurance to get to the other side where you start seeing that little plant start to come out of the ground. And you're like, ah, there's hope. And then it grows and grows and grows into something mighty and glorious, such a small seed. God is asking for a small seed. Will you give up that small seed and let him have it? Put it in his hands. My wife told me an illustration. Put it in his hands. Put the seed over to him. Give it to his hands and watch him make something amazing out of it, right? Hallelujah. That's a principle. That's a law in the things of God. Sow the seed in the ground, you're going to get a harvest in the future. Give him what is yours, what you love, what you think is so precious. Give it completely to him and watch him resurrect it. Amen? Praise God. I think you guys got it. So let's give God praise and glory, and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us, that you gave your only begotten Son. He was the seed that was placed in the ground, and the third day he rose up, and now all mankind can be saved. We thank you for your mercy through Christ. And Lord God, we make a choice now to repent from trying to always take control and keep control of our own lives and all the things and all these things that we love and that we think are precious. And God, we hand them over to you and say, God, what do you want for my life? I seek your will. I seek your plan. I seek what is it you want. I hand it over to you and say, God, it's yours now. I let go. I let go and let God. I let you have it, God, and I trust you with it. Hallelujah. And I know Resurrection Day is coming. Hallelujah. In just a little while, Resurrection Day is coming. And I'm going to give you the praise and the glory when I see that thing come out of the ground to the glory of God. And I will rejoice forever and ever. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you were all blessed by the message this morning and encouraged to just let it go and let God take care of it. Well, we do have a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, please do so. Of course, you all know the way to give your offering. If you need a Thanksgiving food basket, please see anyone at the welcome area in the lobby, and we'll be able to direct you in the right way. And if you'll just go ahead, and I'll just pray and dismiss us. Thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us here to hear your word. Help us to understand, Lord, that you've got it all under control. Help us to let go of our will and to grab onto your will and allow you to direct our path. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.